first, I wanted to get an update on a story you might have missed last week because, well, there was a lot of other stuff grabbing headlines last week. There were two votes in the U.S. House of Representatives that boosted the chances for copper nickel mining projects in northern Minnesota. NPR News reporter Dan Crocker joins me now from our NPR News Bureau in Duluth. Dan, thanks so much for your time.
Happy to be here, Tom.
1-800-242-2828. If you have a question for Dan here, 651-227-6000. You can tweet me at WeberTom1. And please don't call or text if you are driving. So I mentioned there that it boosts the chances. Why are people who want copper nickel mining projects to go ahead in northern Minnesota happy with these votes?
Well, you're right. They boost the chances. The two bills, I mean, one's related to, and we'll talk in more detail in a few moments, but one is related to the PolyMet proposal, which is the copper nickel mine that's furthest along in the process. Another one is related to one called Twin Metals, which is up near Ely and the Boundary Waters. And both of these bills would essentially, and very broadly speaking, would remove some obstacles that have been sort of set in place from these proposals to move forward. They sort of grease the wheels a little bit, if you will, maybe speed it up. I mean, the final decisions that will need to be made to give final approval to these projects will come from the state and the state permitting. It's interesting, Tom. I mean, for so long now, I mean, for over a decade, really, Minnesota has been fiercely debating this issue, and it's pretty remarkable that both of these projects were debated on the floor of the House in the same week.
So let's go through each bill separately. I believe Representative Rick Nolan, who represents northeastern Minnesota, his bill was up first. What does it do?
So, yeah, and that's related to the PolyMet project, which has been through environmental review. It's been going through environmental review now for 10 years. And the Nolan's bill would basically push through a land swap that PolyMet needs to move ahead with its copper nickel mining project. So basically, PolyMet controls the minerals at its site, but it does not own the land where it wants to dig its open pit mine. This is near Babbitt, north of Hoyt Lakes. So this swap with the Superior National Forest would basically trade four parcels of land, about 7,000 acres, that PolyMet would trade to the National Forest. In exchange, the National Forest would trade the land that PolyMet needs to mine. The Superior National Forest has already approved this exchange, Tom, actually under the Obama administration. But there are four lawsuits now that have been filed that attempt to block this exchange from moving forward. And those lawsuits, for the most part, argue that taxpayers are getting a raw deal in this exchange. They allege that the land that PolyMet wants to obtain has been severely undervalued because appraisers didn't take into consideration the minerals that lie underneath.
Do those lawsuits then go away if this particular bill would pass and become law?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So those lawsuits would be null and void if this law is passed.
You know, this bill, interestingly, had a very overwhelming vote. It passed 309-99, mm-hmm. and in the Minnesota delegation, there was overwhelming support. You had three Democrats voting for it: Rick Nolan, Colin Peterson, and Tim Walz, and all of the three Republicans: Eric Paulson, Jason Lewis, and Tom Emmer. And then the only no votes were Democrats Betty McCollum and Eric Paulson. What does that say to you that it had such overwhelming support, even in the Minnesota delegation, specifically about this PolyMet project?
So it's the politics around these two proposals are very different, and I think they really. What really signaled that change was when Governor Dayton recently came out in support of the PolyMet project. For many years, he had been undecided on it. Said he wanted to wait for this process to unfold, and he came out recently. It's and really what's emerged, I think, Tom, is sort of this whole issue of which watershed the mines are in. PolyMet, the water, because the main concern over copper nickel mines are potentially severe water pollution that has existed in, you know, historically in these mines that have been built out west and other places. So PolyMet is in the St. Louis River watershed, which drains into Lake Superior. Twin Metals is in, it's only about 20 miles away, actually, only about 20 miles further north, but that its water would flow northward into the Boundary Waters and that watershed. And that's really been a huge dividing line in the politics of this. Which has been really fascinating to see unfold. So, as you said, the PolyMet situation or the PolyMet proposal, this land exchange bill, did get pretty strong support even among Democrats in the delegation. I think the other thing, real quickly, is sort of the kind of the rural-urban divide, I guess, if you will. You know, Republicans have, I think, smelled blood in the water up on the range. Republican House Speaker Kurt Dowd, others have been visiting the Iron Range and given full-throated support to some of these projects up there. So, you know, there's definitely, you know, some interesting dividing lines unfolding there as well.
Well, and we saw gains by Republicans in the last election. The town of Ely, for example, went for Donald Trump, which is where the second of these proposals is. Dan Crocker with me from our bureau in Duluth. He just mentioned the first project, PolyMet. That first bill from Representative Nolan had to do with PolyMet. This second bill has more to do with the Twin Metals proposal near Ely. It's called the Miner Act, Minnesota's Economic Rights in the Superior National Forest Act.
That's clever, isn't it, Tom?
It is clever, very clever. Tom Emmer is the sponsor. What does that bill do, Dan?
It does a lot, so bear with me. Three main things, really. First, it would reinstate two mineral rights leases to Twin Metals that the Obama administration refused to deny or refused to renew in the kind of the, in the waning days of its administration. These are leases on the Superior National Forest that the company needs to explore and to eventually mine there at its site, which is near Ely, just south of the Boundary Waters. So that's number one. Number two, and kind of broadly speaking, it would reopen this big area in the Superior National Forest to exploration and potential mining. So again, at the waning days of the Obama administration, when they refused to renew these leases for Twin Metals, the other thing they did was they set in motion this process, this two-year environmental study, sort of a generic study of mining in the watershed of the Boundary Waters. And basically, for 2 years, it would put any mining or exploration on hold while the government basically looked at whether mining was appropriate in this watershed area, which is over 200,000 acres of the Superior National Forest. And that process could lead to a 20-year, what's known as a 20-year mineral withdrawal, which would basically be a mining moratorium in this area. And the Forest Service basically said, we think this moratorium is deserved, but this study would go forward, and then Secretary of Interior Ryan Zinke would then have the final say on whether this moratorium should go into effect. So this bill would halt that whole process.
Yeah, so the thing that could lead to a moratorium is done away with in this bill.
Correct. It doesn't undo the moratorium per se, because that would have to be decided on by Secretary Zinke, but it undoes this, or it stops in its tracks, this two-year-long environmental study that has been started.
The other thing, very interesting here, because mm-hmm. we see President Trump heading to Utah today to announce that he is pulling back borders of a national monument, two national monuments there that President Obama had designated, making a national monument, and many of those national monuments have become national parks, is something the president has broad authority to do under a law, very old law, called the Antiquities Act. Mm-hmm. Emmer's bill does what with the Antiquities Act?
Yeah, so it would basically say that a president cannot use the Antiquities Act to create a national monument in Minnesota. It would require congressional approval to create any new national monument in Minnesota.
In Minnesota or the Superior National Forest?
Well, I should check that. I believe it's Minnesota, but maybe it's a Superior, so we should check that.
But it's if you want to do another national monument, unlike the previous authority, which is simply the president signing an order, you would have to get that congressional approval.
That's correct. And there's no, I mean, at least that I've heard of, there's been no move to do that. But say in the future, if somebody wanted to create a national monument in this watershed that drains into the Boundary Waters, it's out of the current Boundary Waters, that would require congressional mm-hmm. approval moving forward. And Tom, real quick, I did look to see if there's any precedent for that. And there are actually, Congress has amended that Antiquities Act twice to require congressional approval for new national monuments in Wyoming and also in Alaska for monuments over 5,000 acres. So there is precedent, but Minnesota would be in a distinct minority if this law were passed.
So we talked about the first bill, about PolyMet, which had overwhelming support from the Minnesota delegation. How did the votes line up here in Minnesota for the second bill that Tom Emmer is pushing?
Yeah, the politics are much different. So Eric Paulson, who's a Republican congressman from the metro area, he lined up in opposition to this and spoke on the floor about it and compared the BWCA, he called it Minnesota's Yellowstone. He said it deserves protection. He talked kind of about his formative trips that he's taken in the wilderness. So that's one distinction. The other big distinction is Tim Walz, Democrat, who supported the PolyMet land exchange. He also opposed this. And it should be noted, as you know, that Walz is running for governor. So this this stance would line up with the stance that Governor Dayton has taken on these two issues, where Dayton has come out in support now of PolyMet, but he's been a staunch opponent of potential mining up near the Boundary Waters.
Yeah, if you follow Representative Paulson on Instagram, you see, I think it's every summer, you see some photos from him from the Boundary Waters. He goes there a lot. Last question, and obviously we should say this just passed the House, so
correct,
it's not law, still has to do work in the Senate. Do we know anything about prospects in the Senate or whether this becomes law?
I don't much. I do know that no Senate companion for either bill has been introduced yet. So it's unclear what fate it has in the Senate.
And the final question here: Friday, the Trump administration announced that it won't require mining companies to prove they have the financial wherewithal to clean up pollution. That undoes an order that President Obama had done. That's a big deal in these debates about whether PolyMet or Twin Metals actually get to do these projects. Will they have to put up money if there's pollution one day down the road? But does that order from the federal government on Friday have any effect here, Dan?
I don't believe it would because Minnesota already requires basically companies to prove that. It's something we've talked about. It's called financial assurance. And it's actually what PolyMet is going through right now as it develops, you know, with its permit to mine. And it's going back and forth with the state right now, basically determining how much money the company has to put up in up front that would be able to cover the mine's cleanup at the back end. So the state is not on the hook for any of that environmental cleanup.
So that's still a state thing, even if this federal thing goes away.
Right.
Dan Crocker, NPR News reporter, thanks so much for the update. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, happy to do it, Tom.
Find Dan's story about this online, nprnews.org.